Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning.
Welcome back.
This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. Today is October the 19th, 2021, Tuesday. Beautiful, spectacular day here on the East Coast. Hope everyone's enjoying their day. It's been a few. Thanks for having me back. Welcome back. You know, just trying to figure out what I want to do with this podcast. I really enjoy sitting down and chatting, you know, debriefing, so to speak, a little bit, what's going on in my life and how recovery or a program is helping or could help or has helped at some point. And, you know, just really trying to talk about life after putting down the alcohol, you know, because I'm not sure. I know that I didn't expect this. You know, I thought you just put down the drink and life got better. And I can tell you that the day I put down the drink, my life did get a lot better immediately. But, you know, time goes on. Time goes on and we have our ups and downs. And so, you know, really just trying to share my experience on how this program has helped, you know, me find some peace. I know one of the things that's going on in this world, and I think it's probably one of the big challenges for this world, or maybe just because I'm getting old, I'm not cut out for it, but just the amount of information and opinions and the amount of places to leave an opinion or be opinionated about something. You know, there's a lot of platforms and a lot of audiences and a lot of potential audiences, and it is very interesting to have lived, you know. I graduated high school in 1986, so I was 16 or 17 in 86, and the 80s was one of the greatest times I thought of my life. I'm sure that anybody, you know, that's somewhat of an adult can reflect back at a younger time and probably finds that one of the best times of their life. But I know that for me, it was a great time. The music was good. The biggest difference that I see today compared to then is just this overwhelming amount of stuff. Stuff's going to be our downfall, I have a feeling. Or it's going to be what we slowly start losing, you know, in the next year, 6 months, 2 years, I don't know. But I think that we are going to really start to see a change. And I have said it to other people before. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but I believe that we're going to revert back 40 years. To when, you know, I was a kid in this simpler way of life. And, I mean, we may not. I don't know. But I think that we're definitely going through this period in our lives where it's very gluttonous, right? We live. It appears like a lot of people live a gluttonous life. We've become very, we want what we want when we want it. And the amount of stuff that we can get, the speed of how fast we can get it, and through credit cards and different things, the ability to basically get whatever it is that we want. And, you know, part of me is like, that's awesome. That's fucking awesome. Whatever you want, you can get, you know, to a point, right? I mean, you know, I just bought this e-bike. I love this bike. It was a little bit expensive. Pretty expensive. I mean, you know, and I paid for it. I mean, I didn't put it on credit. I'm not, but I did, you know, I had to do some payments, some big chunky payments, but I had the money and I'm working. Did I need this bike? I don't think so. Should I have gotten the bike? I probably shouldn't have. I could have probably put that money somewhere where it could have been more useful. But at the same time, you know, I do want an e-bike and I do have plans on doing some adventuring with it. So, you know, I guess it's really, I mean, if I couldn't afford it, I wouldn't have purchased it. But would this have been something that a 53-year-old Tom would have purchased back in 1986? No. My father? No. My father wouldn't have been buying an e-bike, I don't think. You know, we were much more thoughtful about the stuff that we bought. And, you know, I think I'm officially turning into one of those grouchy, grumpy old men. I just think it's inevitable, right? You know, we see, experience, go through, work it out, become a little cynical. Our brains are changing. Our lives are changing. You know, we're physically changing. You know, I think it's just this path, right, that we go through. And, you know, I was thinking about it last night. Am I that guy? Is this the point in my life where I'm just very, I don't want to say negative, but you remember the movie Forrest Gump where, you know, they're going through the Vietnam thing and everybody's like, you know, mad at the man and, you know, everyone's upset at capitalism, you know, capitalist dogs, you know, and you know, this point in your life where you're like, I think I figured out what's going on and it's a bunch of bullshit. That's how I feel like I'm at my point in my life right now. You know, you see the... My dad, last night I was talking to him, he's like, you know, this Biden's fault. Everything is Biden's fault. I'm like, Jesus. And I go, do you think it's Biden's fault? You know, and it's apparently this pipeline that has been shut down has become a very big deal. Gas has gone up a quarter. And I thought, and my dad's like, you know, people can't afford it. And I'm like, well, do you think at some point we have to maybe address how much we drive? I mean, is this grumpy old man, cynical kind of perspective where, you know, maybe we might be part of the problem? Right? Why should we be blamed? I absolutely think we're the problem. I said, I told this to my dad last night. I said, do you think maybe we should drive less? You know? Do you think if things were more expensive, we would think about it and consider it and maybe treat it with more respect instead of expecting? You know, like, you know, if anybody's watched it, I mean, the prices of groceries have just been going up and up. And, you know, if a pound of hamburger was $2 a pound or something, well, fucking people buy it up. But if it's like $5 a pound, maybe you really have to appreciate it more. It becomes a value. I don't know. I think we're going through a crazy time right now. And I also think I'm going through my 50s. I'm going through a crazy time in my 50s. Right? I mean, that's almost the worst because I remember what it's been like. I see what it's like now and I feel like I have to have an opinion. And we live in a place now where, you know, we have 19,000 different opportunities to stand on a soapbox and, you know, spew out our personal thoughts and beliefs. And it's freaking weird. And, yeah, it's hard to get used to.
Four.
Yeah. So how does this matter? What does this matter for me as far as being sober and how I use my sobriety and all the stuff that I've learned and continue to learn as a tool in my life to get through these weird times? And what I try to do is I really just try to stay in the day. A lot of the people I have conversations with love to reminisce or predict. And it's not smart. And it's weird because I talk to a lot of people and a lot of people do it. And I told my dad loves to, you know, go back to when we were kids. And I'm like, Dad, that was freaking 35 years ago. I mean, life has changed. We've changed. You know, we're not pushing the citation down the driveway in the middle of the night and throwing rocks at mailboxes anymore. I mean, we're actually adult men. But he loves to live in those days. And he also loves to predict the future and how bad it's going to get. And I'm like, so, you know, it's a continuous reminder that I need to stay in the moment. It's very, very safe in the moment. Step out of the moment and we start to create the drama. So I try to stay in the moment. And I did a podcast the other day, which I never posted because I just didn't feel it. But, you know, there's always this, and I remember when I first came into the program and I would hear these back to basic meetings. And I was like, back to basic, what does that mean? And I thought, you know, for a long time it was for like newcomers. So if you're just coming in, back to basics, you don't want to go to the ones that have been around a while because you need to be in the basic meetings. I don't know. I had some weird thought about back to basics. But the reality is I need to remember to get back to basics like every day. You know, I remember Matt used to say, listen, have you had drinking enough water today? Have you had good food? Have you walked? Have you exercised? Have you been outside? Have you been to a meeting? You know, have you reached out to a sponsor? Have you made an AA contact? Have you tried to help another person? You know, these would all be considered back to basic kind of moves. I mean, the big one, drinking water, exercise, eating well. And I don't mean like, you know, a gym membership. I don't think they mean, you know, let's get ripped, because, you know, you have to be careful there too, because what starts to show up when we get ripped? Self, you know, we become awesome, dangerous. You know, as long as you know what you're doing. I mean, but you know, a nice walk, you know, if you can go for a run, maybe a nice run, a bike ride, you know, just to raise the heart rate up. I don't necessarily mean you have to, you know, be going crazy, but, you know, because a lot of times people will, and I know I'll even do it. Like if I can't, like I'll get up in the morning or all the night before, I'm like, I want to go for a run, right? But then I start saying, listen, if you can't do 5 miles, don't bother. You know, like I have these expectations of myself, and all of a sudden, if I don't think I'm going to be able to complete the expectations, I'm like, don't do it at all. Unfortunately, that happens a lot, and unfortunately, you know, the opportunity comes up and I end up not doing it. It doesn't happen a lot. I mean, I'm aware of what I do now, but, you know, so like I lower my expectations and I'll say, listen, why don't you just try to make it to the curb? Try to make it to the corner. If you can make it to the corner and you're still going, go a little farther. Do what you can do. Do what you want, but don't, you know, do something. And it's like a miracle. I start running and all of a sudden I'm full of strength and I'm not struggling, and all the drama that my mind had made or had self had made, I don't even know what's behind that. It is bizarre. You would think I'd be like, you got this. Heck yeah, let's do it. You're going to be awesome. I don't really think like that. I think, oh, you're not going to be strong enough. You're going to hurt your knee. Your back's going to hurt. It's going to be too cold, too windy, too hot, too many bugs. It's like I have this pre-existing condition that just automatically stops me at the gate. What are you doing? Don't bother. Turn around. It'll never work out. You know, and until I push through that, excuse me, I am coming through. You know, I set myself up for a lot of failure. So back to basics. Maybe I need to address If I'm going back to basics, to running or to exercising or towards dieting or towards being sober, you have to get back to basics for all of them. Even like my diet. My diet, there's a lot of insanity in that. You know, if I eat too much bread and I don't feel well because I ate too much bread, I feel like I have to go to a fat farm. Like I need to go check myself in somewhere because I feel physically terrible. But once that passes, I'm like, okay, maybe I don't need to lose weight. Maybe I really just need to stop eating the damn bread. Back to basics. Not too much sugar. Watch my portions. Don't eat too late. Don't eat. You know, there's a lot of little simple rules that I can do to protect myself from feeling like shit because I ate bad food. And it's not even bad food. It's just good food, but too much of it. And that's what happens with bread. You know, I could have. There was a couple weeks that I went through that Dave's Killer Bread thing. I mean, I was eating like 3 to 4 or 5 pieces of bread in the evening. At one point, I was just putting freaking butter on it and eating it. Not even toasted, just eating the bread. And that bread, for me, starts to, I don't know, I'm not going to say I have any intolerances to anything. I think it's just too much damn bread at the wrong time because it would be like before bed. And I would wake up the next day feeling bloated and uncomfortable. And it was really just these dough balls that I'd eaten rolling around in my stomach and in my, you know, in my digestive system. And it doesn't feel comfortable. But when that happens, then I'm like, I can't eat food. I'm only going to, I quit food. You know, I get extreme. And the reality is I can't eat bread. I can't even eat a slice of it. Bread is like alcohol. Sugar to me is like alcohol. Cookies are like alcohol. If I have one, I can't stop. And, you know, I'm not eating a loaf of bread, but having 5 pieces, that's too many. You know, I should have a slice or maybe a half, I don't know. But 6 pieces, too many. 5, too many. So I now, back to basics, I don't eat bread anymore. Not eating any bread. And that doesn't mean that I'm gluten intolerant or that strict. I'm definitely not buying Dave's Killer Bread. I'm not eating bagels. But like yesterday, I was riding my bike and I stopped and I got a surf bagel and I had a bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel. I ate the whole thing. I felt fine. Because I'm not eating a lot of bread. I just, one-time thing. So even for my diet, even for how I run, you know, I have to get back to basics. I have to simplify it. I have to go through some of the very simple back-to-basic rules. You know, drinking lots of water. I mean, there are days I come to work and I work all day and then I come home and sit down and I'm like, God, I don't think I've had any water all day. And I'll go find my Yeti and it's usually by the bed. And I'm like, damn it. And I have not drinking water all day and I don't feel well. I definitely can feel the difference. So that's one of them, drinking a lot of water, breathe a lot of air. I don't know about anybody, but, you know, I have an Apple Watch. And my Apple Watch tells me to breathe all the time. I don't know if it's because I'm not breathing enough. I get shallow breathing. But that's another thing, you know, a lot of breath. Breathe. You know, fill your lungs. Get that air. Water, air, clean food. You know, there is a difference from when you have, you know, a nice clean meal as opposed to something that is, you know, unfortunately not so clean. I don't know what that would be. I think most people know what clean and not clean food is, I guess. I would imagine something with a lot of sauces and stuff like that. I feel like we eat pretty clean. I like to say that. I think reality is I just don't know how to cook very well, so I just keep it pretty simple, and it turns out fine and delicious. But you know, we try to have you know, like pork chops or green beans, some mashed potatoes or something. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's pretty clean, right? I know what's in it. Doesn't have a lot. You know, probably fried chicken from Royal Farms is probably not as clean. It's delicious, but probably not as clean. I don't know. These are all simple, back-to-basic kind of things. You know, if you're struggling with alcohol and drugs, you know, I'll probably get to a meeting. You know, probably get to a meeting. We're going through this period right now where, I don't know, I think a lot of the fear, maybe in the past we'd have been, you know, if you didn't like your job, you'd be like, hey, man, you know, I got to keep my job or God knows what will happen. Now I feel like people are like, eh, I don't need this job. It'll all work out. Maybe. Maybe it will. I don't know. But it seems like a lot of opportunity to get high and drunk. And hopefully you're not struggling. But if you are, you know, get to a meeting. Get back to basics. You know, take a commitment. You know, I run with my buddy Brian. Running and meetings are a lot alike. I don't necessarily want to go. I know it's good for me. If something gets in the way of going, I'll probably not go. I'm struggling right now with getting to that meeting because of the Monday thing. But that's why, you know, me and Brian, we set up, we make a commitment through the winter. No matter what, let's run on Mondays. And that's what we've been doing. And if we hadn't made that commitment, I probably wouldn't run. So if you're struggling to get to meetings, maybe find a friend, make a commitment. Listen, let's meet at this meeting every week. You know, back to basic, simple things. Take on a commitment. Maybe you want to find a coffee commitment for the month. Like, I know commitments at meetings have always helped me. You know, whether it's, and, you know, times are a lot different. But, you know, when I was, you know, 5, 8 years ago, when I was, you know, deep into meetings and, you know, really putting a lot of effort into them, I used to try to take 3 commitments for the year. So 3 times a year, I would take a month-long commitment, you know, finding a speaker. Sometimes I'd just take the coffee commitment. Sometimes I would be a greeter. But I would try to make 3 commitments throughout the year. And I don't know if that's a lot. Didn't seem like a lot. Probably could have done more. But it kept me in the meetings. You know, and I actually enjoy the meetings, so to speak. I appreciate them. I don't mind meetings. A lot of times it's a nice break for my family to get out and get to a meeting and you know. Because I get funky. I've been funky a lot lately. I find myself sitting quietly, pensive, fuming. You know how I've got it so bad and everybody else has it so good. When that starts happening, I know I need to get to a meeting. I start to becoming a victim of everybody else. Don't they see how well I'm doing? And it's sickness. And it's probably because I haven't been getting to a meeting. I have not been getting back to basics. And I need to do that. All right. Let's see. Let's see if we got something. I have been having a lot of trouble with this podcast. Not that I don't want to do it, because I love doing this podcast. I've just been running out of things to talk about, and self has started to creep in and starts talking to me. And, you know, and I hope if you do listen to this podcast, I hope people know that I'm not telling, I don't want to tell people what to do. I hope I don't come across that way. I'm not trying to do that. I want to just share my experiences and some thoughts. You know, if you are struggling with alcohol, I would go to a meeting if it was me. Try to find a meeting. Try to get a temporary sponsor and try to get involved. And that's my only thing I will suggest. The rest, hopefully I'm just going to share experiences that I've been going through as a guy that's sober from alcohol and drugs. Because really, I mean, you put down alcohol and drugs, your life does get better, but eventually it gets normal. And then trying to understand how to handle some other shit in my life and be sober has been an experience. And, you know, and that's just what I like to share. You know, and how this transition from sobriety to serenity has been a big deal as well. All right, let's see. Let's read a little daily reflections and then we'll just scoot along. So what I was going to say is this. It's been tough for me to do this podcast. I've started probably 10 podcasts and I just haven't finished them. And so I'm trying. I enjoy doing this podcast. I enjoy sharing. I just have to get out of my own head, and that's kind of what ends up happening as I start, like everything else, you're no good at it. What are you doing? So, October 19th, AA's main taproot. The principle that we shall find no enduring strength until we first admit complete defeat is the main taproot from which our whole society has sprung and flowered. Yeah, so, and that's kind of what my issue is right now, is that the reality is that there's a main taproot, and it's admit complete defeat, surrender. That's the ticket. That's the ticket to life. That's the ticket to success, I think. That's the ticket to finding serenity and sobriety. To putting some time between you and the last drink is that. To admit complete defeat, which means surrender. Waving that white flag. I give up. You're right. I'm wrong. The problem is that that's a boring life. You know, everybody so passive. Hey, no problem. You're right. I'm wrong. You know, I need to surrender. You know, you do it. I can wait. You know, this. It's a surrender kind of lifestyle, and it's a little boring. And I think that that's, you know, a challenge. And that's hard to talk about, you know, several times a week for months on end is the same thing, is that the fact is it isn't complicated. It's very simple, you know. Surrender. In so many words. Defeated and knowing it, I arrived at the door of AA alone and afraid of the unknown. A power outside of myself had picked me up off my bed, guided me to the phone book, then to the bus stop, and through the door of Alcoholics Anonymous. Once inside AA, I experienced a sense of being loved and accepted, something I had not felt since early childhood. May I never lose a sense of wonder I experienced on that first evening with AA, the greatest evening of my entire life. Yeah, and I get that. You know, it is an experience. I remember when I had been, I was admitted to the hospital and, you know, going, you know, those guys from the program coming up to the fifth floor and asking me if I wanted to go to a meeting, and going down to the meeting and, you know, I'd been punched in the face, had all these stitches, and, you know, of course these guys are, you know, taking jabs at me about my face and, you know, I wonder what the other person looks like, whatever they say. And I was embarrassed and ashamed, but at the same time, I felt like I don't have to drink tonight. And I was in such a bad spot. You know, I was right on the verge of losing everything when I got sober. I mean, I was right, and I still could. But I was right. I still had my license. I still had a job. I still had a family, but I was getting ready. My life had become so unmanageable to everybody else. And I was just getting ready to lose it all, you know. Luckily, I still had a car, but I had a DUI. People were still helping me get to work. I didn't have, you know, I didn't have to get the liquor cycle out, but I, you know, but I was still, people were still helping me, but I was heading in that direction where they were going to start to leave me. But I'll never forget that day. Just thinking, oh my God, I don't have to drink tonight. Oh, brutal. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. I'm going to try to get back into this. Like I said, if you got an anniversary, find me on Instagram. I'm sorry about last night podcast. And, you know, let me know your anniversary. Give you a shout out. I hope everyone's doing great. And talk to you later. Bye.